I really admire people who break through barriers, particularly when it comes to running, because running is really hard work, and particularly the barrier of a marathon, 42.2 kilometres. That is no easy feat to run that kind of distance. So I'm not sure if you ever heard about or if you followed along a few years ago, a man named Eliud Kipchoge, hopefully I pronounced that right. His picture's on the screen. He was the first runner ever, the first human ever to break the two-hour marathon barrier. He ran this marathon in under 2 hours. We did not think it was possible for humans to do that. Now, that is extremely fast. If you calculate his speed, he was running at a speed of 21.2 kilometres an hour. That is absolutely mind-blowing. So I was really curious. I did some calculations this week. I thought, I am a very slow runner. What would it take me to run a marathon? About 5 hours. And then I Googled, what is the average pace of an average person or a fairly good runner to run a marathon? So for a man, anything around 4 hours or just under is an extremely good pace. For a lady, something around 4.5 hours is similarly very, very good. So this man ran a marathon in double the pace of a good average runner. Phenomenal. But Eliud had pacers that day. So these people ran alongside him, ran with him to help him maintain that speed. It was super fast. So these guys didn't run the whole marathon. These pacers ran at certain intervals throughout the distance. They would come along and join him. People would drop off just so he could do that particular race. Amazing barrier that was broken that day. Sometimes we need people in our lives to come alongside us so we can break through barriers as well. Now, Eliud could not have done that day by himself, and it hasn't been done since. I'm sure people are chasing that barrier, but we need people to come alongside us sometimes. And this morning, we are talking about one of the biggest barriers that was broken in the world. And this is for every single individual. This barrier was broken for you and for me. And this Easter Sunday, we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, the barrier of sin and death. Jesus is alive. He rose again. The tomb is empty. He also overcame the physical barriers that were trying to keep him in the tomb that Sunday. The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. So I want to go back a little bit this morning and look at the events leading up to the tomb being empty. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 27, looking at verse 57. It says, as the evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of cloth, clean linen. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. So Mary and Mary Magdalene were watching these events unfold. They were there when Jesus was crucified. They were there when Joseph, and in the other Gospels it talks about Nicodemus, Joseph and Nicodemus taking Jesus' body, lovingly wrapping it up in cloth and placing it in a brand new tomb. They were there when the stone was rolled across the tomb, and they were absolutely devastated. But this is not the end for those two ladies. They're going to pop up again in the story. God is going to use them again. Now, Matthew doesn't actually tell us what these ladies did after the stone was rolled away, but if we go to the Gospel of Luke, it says in verse 56 of chapter 23, then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by the law. The Sabbath was coming. Saturday was coming. And these Jewish ladies needed to go home and follow the requirements set out in the Jewish law that day. And that meant staying at home. It definitely did not mean walking distances to go and anoint a dead body. So they went home, they prepared, ready for Sunday. They were waiting, they rested. Now, Jesus' closest disciples were nowhere to be found in the story right here. They scattered. They abandoned him. They were probably scared, heartbroken, disillusioned. They gave 3 years of their life to this man, Jesus, and now he's dead. And I was wonder if they thought the authorities were going to come after them next, because they were known to Jesus. They were known to be his followers. What was going to happen to them? They were gone. They weren't interested in anointing Jesus' body. They weren't interested in being there when he was placed in the tomb. They abandoned him. Joseph, Nicodemus, Mary, and Mary were there and lovingly placed Jesus in the tomb. And the story in Matthew continues in verse 62 of 27. It says, "The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, 'Sir, we remember that the deceiver once said,'" they're talking about Jesus, "'while he was still alive, 'after 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent the disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first.' So Pilate replied, 'Take guards, secure it as best you can.' So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it." I don't know if you caught that. They sealed the tomb. The stone was already in place. This was an added layer of protection. They sealed the tomb and posted guards there. Now, that's a lot of protection for a dead body. What did they think he was going to do? Now, that word "sealed" in the ancient Greek is super long and really hard to pronounce, so I'm not going to even try. But it means to set a seal upon, mark with a seal. And that word "seal," in that context it was used in this passage, is talking about a legal deal. So when a legal seal was placed on a document or a letter, it was done to authenticate it. It made it official so that if that seal was broken by someone who it wasn't supposed to be broken by, you knew that the document had been tampered with. So this is the seal they had placed on the tomb that day. They put it there to show, this is definitely not going anywhere. This rock is in place. The seal is there. The religious leaders were scared of what might happen to Jesus' body. They weren't satisfied that his death was enough. The stone, the seal, the guards. No one coming in, no one going out. Now, when I looked up what this seal was, commentators think that it was several ropes that were placed across the rock and then secured at either side by a soft clay and imprinted with some sort of official emblem, embossing or whatever it was, probably Roman, to say, look, this seal, the clay, anyone touches it, that clay is clearly going to break, the ropes will fall, we will know if something has happened. So these precautions that were put in place made the religious leaders really satisfied. This is good. Nothing can happen to Jesus' body. No one comes back from the dead. It's never happened before. He's in there for good. And the excitement about who Jesus was and the events surrounding him were going to go away. Now, his disciples, sure, they definitely cannot execute some crazy plan to steal his body. It's impossible. All of these layers of protection in place, not going to happen. Then all was quiet. Jesus was dead. The tomb was sealed. And it was the Sabbath. Now, this would have been a really eerie day, like Jeff said before. The kind of quiet, calm. Now, the day before, so many crazy things happened. The temple and the curtain ripped. Darkness fell over the land. Jesus was crucified. All of this stuff was happening. And then Saturday, it was quiet. It was a Sabbath. People were resting. It's what we call a liminal space, the space in between. So Mary and Mary Magdalene had rested. But they were determined to go back to Jesus and anoint his body and give him a proper, honourable burial, as it was their Jewish custom. So they were ready. They were eager. And it says in Matthew 28, verse 1, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb." Now that is dedication. I don't think I would get up at the crack of dawn to go and anoint a body. These ladies really were determined to honour Jesus. They knew that he was something special. So I'm not sure what they were expecting that day. I don't know what they thought they were going to be able to do because they saw the stone being put in place. What were these ladies expecting? How were they going to actually do what they set out to do? How were they going to anoint it? But Sunday, the first day of the week, in the light of a new day, was a miracle. Now, this is not a coincidence, because if you go back to the creation account in the book of Genesis, God created light to shine out of darkness on the first day. We know that Jesus rose on the third day, which is Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. So just like God created light on the first day, God's light invaded the tomb and light came out of darkness. Jesus came out of the tomb. Light came out of darkness again for good. Matthew 28:2 says, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. Now the guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint." So I'm not exactly sure if those guards saw the angel rolling the stone or if they just saw the angel sitting on the stone. But this angel must have been incredibly intimidating, incredibly commanding, incredibly larger than life, because these tough guys would have been there. They would have been the toughest of the tough to guard that tomb. And as soon as they saw the angel, as soon as they witnessed these events, they're out cold. They're gone. They are so afraid. Imagine witnessing that, this angel. But the official tomb seal was broken. The angel broke it. The angel broke what human authorities said could not be broken. The stone rolled away by such an impressive, commanding angel. Now, I'd be scared too, because this is not a normal event. A great earthquake. This is not a quiet entrance into the world. This is earth-shattering, literally earth-shattering, earth-shaking, light pouring out, entrance into the world. Jesus has risen. The tomb is empty. Light came out of darkness. So why did God choose an angel that day to roll away the stone? Because Jesus could have done it himself. Now, if you're able to rise from the dead miraculously, surely you're able to move a stone. Or if he wasn't going to move it, why would you just kind of walk outside and kind of walk through the stone or whatever Jesus was going to do and leave the tomb behind with the seal intact? Now, we have accounts in the book of the Gospel of John after the resurrection of Jesus just appearing in rooms with locked windows and locked doors. Jesus could have appeared outside of the tomb. It was very possible. So why was this tomb opened by an angel? Now, God did it to prove, without a doubt, that there was no conspiracy behind this. This was not a human effort, not a human feat. There was no weirdness about, well, it was a little weird, but there was no human weirdness about it. This was an act of God. It was God's power, not human power. God was demonstrating that no matter what barriers we put in place between us and God, that he will break through them. God is bigger than any human authority, any human barrier we can put through. He breaks through and he does it miraculously. Now, he was demonstrating to the people that day, the rulers and the authorities, that they had no hold on him. They couldn't hold him down. They couldn't keep him in the tomb, as well as the fact that death had no hold on Jesus that day. Sin had no hold on him. Jesus rose from the dead. And I love that verse. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as stone. Imagine seeing that picture that day. It's like this angel was sitting on that stone just waiting for someone to come and question his authority. How dare you break the seal? The religious leaders thought they had power over Jesus. They thought they could contain Jesus. They thought they could control the narrative. But the tomb was opened. And they thought that they could stop God. But they would have known this passage. The rulers and religious authorities of the day would have known this passage in Proverbs that says, "No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord." They thought they were smart, but God is much bigger. They thought they'd outwit a God, but God is smarter. He broke through the barrier that day to reveal Jesus, to show us the empty tomb. But what about us? Do we have barriers in our life that we put up to stop us from seeing Jesus? To stop us realizing that he is alive, that he is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God? What do we put in our lives? What do we put in place to stop us believing, or that stop us believing? What are they? Is it something like a barrier that you think you've done something so unforgivable that God cannot possibly love you? Is it a barrier that you haven't actually taken the time to research about who Jesus is for yourself? You're just going off what someone told you some point in time, and that's what you think or believe Jesus is. Is it the barrier that you cannot reconcile your questions about faith and issues about faith, but you haven't actually taken the time to think through it properly? So it's just become an excuse. Is it a barrier that you're too embarrassed to tell your family and friends that you've become a Christian? God broke through the barriers that day, and he can break through barriers in your life if you allow him, if you participate with him. So Mary and Mary Magdalene arrive at the tomb that day. The light is shining, the crack of dawn. It's an amazing new day. And this is what it says in verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." These ladies were the first people in the history of the world to see, to be the witness to Jesus' resurrection. And the angel commissioned them to go find the disciples, go and find these guys that abandoned Jesus and tell him that Jesus is alive. They participated with Jesus' story, and God used them in miraculous ways. This is what the Easter story is about. Jesus isn't dead. He didn't stay dead. He is alive, and he did exactly what he said he would do. He gets rid of guilt. He gets rid of shame. He gets rid of sin. He did it out of complete love for you. You are forgiven no matter what. That's what his death and resurrection did. He was the ultimate sacrifice, and there are no man-made barriers that can keep you from Jesus. He offers us life. And that invitation that the angels gave that day is also for us. Come and see. Come and see that Jesus really is alive. I also saw a quote this week from a guy named Dean Johnson, and it sums up really well some of the barriers that we put in place. So I want to read it to you. It'll be on the screen. He says, "Jesus didn't die so that you don't have to, because we all know we face a physical death. But he died so that you would know how to. Jesus didn't die instead of you, he died ahead of you. Jesus didn't rise so that you don't have to, Jesus rose so you would be able to. Jesus didn't rise instead of you, he rose ahead of you. He showed us this is what's coming. I am life, I am the resurrection. You will face physical death, but that is not the end. You have eternity with me in heaven, and it's going to be amazing. And Jesus said, follow me." So just like the racer, the marathon racer Elliot needed those paces that day, we need someone to come alongside us and break the barrier of sin and death, to break through all of those man-made things we put in place. Jesus has done that. He is our barrier breaker. And when we believe in Jesus, when we believe he is the Son of God, God places a seal on our life. Just like the authorities tried to place a seal on a tomb that was broken, God's seal on our lives when we trust and believe in him is a seal that cannot be broken. And there's a passage in the book of Ephesians that talks about that same word that we talked about before in Matthew, the word seal, an official seal. Let me read this passage to you. It says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, the official seal, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." to when we trust in Jesus, when we believe what he did this Easter weekend, when we know he is the Son of God, God places that official seal on it, on our lives. It cannot be broken. The seal of the Holy Spirit testifies of God's goodness. The Holy Spirit walks alongside us as he smashes through barriers. So this morning, if you would like to know Jesus for the very first time, or if you're sitting here this morning, you've been a Christian for your whole life and you want to come to Jesus afresh and say, God, I need you to break through barriers. The invitation is there. Come and see. So I'm going to pray in a moment. And if you want to pray alongside me, if God is speaking to you, pray these words in your heart and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that the first day of the week, that Sunday, your light shone out of darkness, that you rose again, that you broke through the barriers that people tried to put in place, that people tried to keep you in the dark. God, thank you that you rose to life, and what you did on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice. Out of so much love, you died for our sins. Lord, thank you that I am forgiven. Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. I pray that you will be part of my life from this day forward, that I will come to you and just, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Lord, that I will know your forgiveness, that I will feel your freedom, that you will break the barriers in my life, that you'll place the seal, the unbreakable seal of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will help me and guide me through my life and continue to grow me as I follow you, Jesus, in your most holy name.